Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 579 of the Drunk Dashers podcast. I'm your host, as always, I'm Tyler, and joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
Man, I am tired, Tyler. This week was definitely draining to some extent, both like in the personal life and also in terms of the gaming stuff as well. But at the same point, I am glad that it's the weekend as of this recording. And also, I'm just glad that I'm going to go ahead and enjoy some more time with Super Mario Wonder fairly soon.
Nice.
But anyway, Tyler, how have you been?
I'm all right, man. Do you know, I've had better weeks, have worse weeks. Still, I got an infection on my neck. I talked about last week. Still there, unfortunately. I thought I'd be gone by now, but still there. Got a better prescription. So hopefully that knocks it out, and hopefully next week things are back to normal. So can't drink again, so this is once again the Sober Nerds podcast. I'm drinking water again, which sucks because it is October. I'm in my Oktoberfest era, and all I want to do is drink Oktoberfest because there's only a couple weeks left of my Gables. I won't be able to find any for another like 10 months. So that's very saddening to hear, and I'm missing out on it. It's upsetting. So
I'm visioning you like having like all sorts of Oktoberfest things in your freezer and stuff like that. And you're like, I cannot drink any of you yet.
I have a 6-pack in there that I bought like right before I got like this all happened. So, and I haven't been able to touch it. So, normally that would have already had that 6-pack and probably another 6-pack. And I'm not a huge drinker anymore, but Oktoberfest is the one thing I really, really, really look forward to drinking wise anymore. Yeah, at this point in that, wish I was able to consume. But, it's all right, first world problems in that one, which, I guess that's the whole really point of video game podcast is just first world problems. But otherwise I'm doing okay. Hopefully, it's better than what it was last week. Hopefully I'll be miles better than where I am right now. But, other than that, doing all right, clanging and banging as always. We got a bunch of brand new games out, so that's pretty incredible. On top of how great this year has been, just keeps getting crazier. Before we get into all that, I do want to point out to you guys that we are a podcast. We get together every week and talk about video games. I'm Tyler, that's Gables, and we bullshit. We've been doing this for over a decade now. If you guys like what we're doing, first time, 579th time or whatever, please like, follow, subscribe. We're on everything: Facebook, Twitter, whatever podcast apps. We're on those. Twitch, YouTube. YouTube's one thing we've really been pushing lately. So go over there, like, follow, subscribe, hit that bell, whatever you can do to really appreciate it. And if you're already there, please do all that if you haven't already. And then share, tell your friends about us. Helps out a lot. We're two guys with full-time jobs and we just do this for fun. So if you could just help us out a little bit, it makes us feel good when we see the numbers go up. So always appreciate that. But Gables,
yes.
Big important event coming up here soon. Extra Life is just 2 weeks away. Extra Life is, for people who don't know, it is one of our favorite things we do every year. I think this is my 12th year. I can't remember anymore.
I think it is the 12th year for
you. It's my 12th year. It's your 11th year. I keep the numbers wrong. I'm sorry, people. I'm wearing one of the t-shirts right now. Every year we get together, we play video games for 24 straight hours to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. You could pick any hospital you want in the United States or Canada. I do the Iowa City Hospital. Gables does the Seattle Hospital. You play games 24 straight hours and people donate to you while you do that. The more you hit certain buckets, you actually can get some cool stuff out of it. Like $200 gets you the shirt. $500 gets you a silver medal. $1,000 gets you a gold medal. And there's other tiers on top of that afterwards. It's a really cool thing. It's usually the first Saturday of every November. So it's November 4th for this one. We've been doing it for a long time. If you're interested in doing that or if this thing that sounds cool to you, go to extra-life.org. And if you want to sign up, go there. If you want to donate to us, you can as well. I'm Tyler Courtney. That's Gabe Bagno. So please check, search for us. You can donate. There's a search bar in there. You can look for us. That looks up. And you'll find us, and you want to donate to us, awesome. Better yet, if you want to sign up yourself and or you know some people that want to participate, even better. More people that sign up and participate means more people signing up and more awareness is spread and more money is raised to help the kids. That's all I really care about. That's all this for, is helping those big, beautiful kids out there. So Yeah, it's a great thing Gables and I have been doing, and a lot of people have been doing. This is year 15 of them. They've raised tens of millions of dollars over the 15 years now. And yeah, hopefully this year I'm hoping they might break. They might be able to break 100 million this year in lifetime donations. So that'd be awesome. But yeah, So a really, really cool thing. And luckily for us, Gables, there's plenty of big games coming out that will help us kill some of that time, because sometimes the hardest part about Extra Life some years is when you just don't have not really to play. So I don't think that'll be an issue this time around. So let's just get into it. Let's get into what we've been playing. Do you want to go first? You want to go first, buddy?
You know what? I want to hear what you have been playing this week.
Okay. I'll start with Spider-Man, and then we'll jump into, we can talk about Mario Wonder together. How about that? Sure. All right.
That sounds fine.
So I played about 6-7 hours of Spider-Man 2 so far. Played it for a couple hours last night on Friday night, and then a few more hours during the day today. And Cable's no surprise here. That's pretty fucking awesome. It is familiar, but improved in a lot of ways, which is exactly what I think you want out of a sequel. Is you want them to get better some things that they didn't do amazingly in the first game, but you also don't want them to change up the formula too much. And I think a lot of the changes they made for the gameplay is really well done. With one of the things is, like, so you had like the ultimate move, you had like L3 and R3 at the same time, you did like this ultimate move, and I don't know, maybe it was a me thing, but I feel like I almost never used it because I was always, it took so long to fill up that bar that I always wanted to save it for, like, I didn't want to just save it on just random enemies. Right. I didn't want to use it on them. I'm like, oh, I'm going to save it for a boss fight. Or, like, you know, I'm fighting a bunch of big baddies. So I almost never used it. Pretty much to the point, I just completely forgot I had it for the most part. And this, so they've kind of changed it up now. So now it's like some of those abilities are back, but they're more so, and they've added some new ones and stuff like that. But more so, it is, they're like, you hit L1 and square, like, they're attached to, it's kind of like a cooldown attacks. So like they're abilities now. And so like you hit like L1 and square, and that will, like, you have the Spider-Man, like Peter Parker will have like all the legs come out and like attack a guy, or he'll do a shock move, or there's different abilities you can unlock as you go. So like now they're like, you have one for each, you know, each button. And so I like that. So like now I'm actually using these abilities and like I'm upgrading them. And they've definitely streamlined, I think, a lot of, the upgrading of abilities, the skill trees, stuff like that, where a lot of it was like, there was almost too many different types of perks you would get. Like now it's just like I think it's just crime and hero perks, and those will unlock. And then you have like the tech parts you get from like doing missions and doing side activities. And so they've definitely streamlined that. And there's less things, like there's still a lot of abilities, and like, you still need them to unlock suits, upgrade your gear, or like your upgrade, like your damage or your focus bar or attack or health. And then like you have your skill trees. Now there's three skill trees. There's a shared one. So you have like a lot of like shared abilities, stuff like that, to help you like traverse around the city or raise like your focus bar faster. And then each Spider-Man has their own skill tree that you can use to like basically use to increase, like to add abilities or increase your abilities that I was talking about earlier with like your special attacks, stuff like that. And so I think they've done a good job of streamlining that. And then like the side activities, I think, was like kind of like maybe my biggest complaint of the first game, other than the Mary Jane and Peter, Miles Morales, like walking sections. Like I didn't enjoy those. I've heard they're still in there, but they've improved them drastically. So okay. I haven't got to that yet. I'm still very early on. But like so far from what I'm seeing is like, I obviously haven't seen them all the side missions yet, but a lot of them, like it feels like there's less of them. Like, so not less side activities, but there's not, instead of like, I don't know, say a dozen or 15 of these different, like what was like the screwball missions in like the first game, I really did not like at all. Or the one we got like chase the pigeons, or you had to fly into like the clouds of like, chemicals or whatever, like those, like,
oh,
just,
yeah,
not fun.
That's right.
I haven't actually seen, I don't think I've seen a single like chase thing yet where you have to like chase, they got to catch something. There are the ones like you have to catch like the car, like the random crime activities, but
oh yeah, like what they did in the original game.
Yeah, but like they're not those were kind of like overdone, I thought, in the first game. Like, and so far I've only seen them in those, which obviously are optional. But like a lot of those are gone. It seems at least so far. But like I really did not like a lot of those, and like there was a lot of them. So like I was like very much like, oh, I'm gonna get the platinum in this thing, and then like once I started realizing, I'm like, I don't want to do any. Like there's so many of these like side missions. I'm like, there were some ones I liked a lot, and I did all of them, and then those are those ones I'd be like. I did those. I did like the required ones you had to do, and then a few after that. I'm like, never mind, I'm done. Yeah, I've like so some of those missions that we done. Like, there's like ones with like the Prowler, which there's some Prowler ones that you can like you can use, and like also you get like a lot of tech points, stuff like that for and perks and stuff which you can use to upgrade your suits. So I'm liking a lot of those missions so far. Like, are they all great? No, but I'm enjoying them quite a bit, and it doesn't seem like there's like, you know, 15 or 20 of them, like a lot of them were. And I haven't run into like the backpack thing where like there's like you had 50 missing backpacks you had to find. I ran into that so far at least. But I'm super early on, like I said, I've just been like, I'm not like going out of my way. I'm not like, oh, I'm going to do all the side activities as I go. Like, I'm not doing that, but like on purpose. But as I'm going to missions, if I see something that happens, I will just go then do it. But I'm not like going on the map and then, all right, I'm going to go here and then go here. Like, I'm just swinging around the city going towards the story missions, and I keep getting distracted by crime activities or stuff like that. But like, I'm trying to tell myself, like, I need to save this for extra life, because this is like, this could be like my big extra life game. Like, just focus on like knocking out all of these side activities. But I just like, I'm like, I need to slow down on playing this game, Tyler. And then I just keep fucking playing the game. It's so easy to get lost in this. I'm like, oh, I'm like, I just need to do the story mission, because like, I always do this in open world games where I just like, once I get out I've done it like 5 times this year, and I've talked about this podcast over and over again. I'm like, I just need to get to like do a good chunk of like the main missions and then start to explore. And right. I'm like, I'm going to do that. And I go into every like open world style game, and then I immediately go off. I just start doing like side shit. I'm like, God damn it. Just focus on the story. Cause like, I'm still unlocking like new abilities, and like I'm technically still like in like a tutorial type of mode, like you're out and doing things, but like I just did like one of the main missions I just did was like that taught you how to like teaches you how to do like the stealth mechanics in the game. It's like I've done several missions already where I'm doing stealth mechanics, so it's funny. But yeah, like I'm having a really good time with it like that so far. I'm really liking the story a lot with obviously, cause I think it takes place 9 months after Miles Morales does. So, and I think there was like a 2 or 3 year gap between Spider-Man 1 and Miles Morales. I can't remember exactly how it worked out. But I'm really liking it, where it's like Miles is like, dealing with like, you know, he's a senior in high school, and he's trying to deal with like, you know, going to college and, you know, growing up. And then like Peter is like, you know, now he's like mid to late 20s now, which I mean, obviously he's not old, but for probably, you know, for probably 15 years of being Spider-Man, probably you probably age a lot faster that way doing that than, you know, any of us would. So I think it's him, like he's kind of like dealing with, like, so far at least, like he's been doing this for a while, and maybe wants to kind of, you know, wind it down and deal with life. And like I don't want to spoil anything, like it's been 5 years, but I'm not gonna spoil anything for like Spider-Man 1 stuff, but like dealing with a lot of the fallout from that still, even though it's been a couple of years, 2-3 years later. And, you know, obviously with Mary Jane, and then like his best friend Harry Osborn shows up, and it's like, you know, they thought they were like, where the fuck have you been for, you know, he's been gone for years now. It's like, so like learning a lot of that. And yeah, so far I'm just really liking it. I'm really digging the story. Like I'm a sucker for these like big bombastic, you know, big budget games, and like man, this game is gorgeous. Insomniac, they are, it's witchcraft what they can do with this, with like this PS5, with like the loading and like the fact that you're able to do ray tracing in 60 frames per second. And there's 120 frames per second mode I'm playing it on, and it still has ray tracing, which is fucking wild to me. When you look at like, there's some games that come out on these consoles that are built for these consoles, and they struggle to do 60 frames per second. It's like, what the fuck? How are they able to do that? Like, obviously it helps to work on one console, but it's like nobody else in PlayStation is doing this either. It's crazy to me. It's like, what the fuck are we doing here? And they pump out more games than anybody. It's wild. Yeah, like I said, 6-7 hours in, and a lot of it's just been dicking around. The first hour of this game fucking rules. It's one of the best openings to a game I think I've ever played. Like, it starts big. It's very much like, remember the first time you played Uncharted 2 and it's with the train sequence?
Yep.
Like, it's on par with that. Or like that moment, like, of like, oh my, like, that was one of the coolest moments in like video game history. That one of the coolest openings ever. And like, I would say it's on par with like that, like how cool this game opens up. So yeah, it's so far it's been awesome. Cannot wait to go back to it, but I'm trying to pry my hands off of it because, I do not want, I could very easily see myself having this game knocked out and like, and doing like, and not just running through it, just like can't stop playing it. And then Extra Life rolls around and like my big game that I was like saving for Extra Life is gone. So I'm like, God damn it. So it is definitely a first world problem right now with that one, where it's like, I've been waiting forever for this game and it's out and it's like, God damn it. You know, yeah, like, you know, I need to save it, but, man, it's just so goddamn good. I don't want to quit playing it. The other game I've been playing, Gables, and you could jump in, cause I imagine you probably played more than I have. I played a little over an hour of Mario Wonder. I just beaten the first world. How much have you done?
Let's see. Yes, I have beaten the first world. I've spent at least a couple hours playing through the game. I've gotten every wonder seed and like little coin stuff so far. So I've gotten like about 28 wonder seeds from the 28 in the first world. I'm pretty much going up to the fluff peak, sort of like world instead of world two. But I've been kind of like distracted because I wanted to try out all the elements of the other levels and stuff from the other stages leading up to World 2. My God, this game looks pretty freaking
incredible. This game is incredible. It's wonderful, Gables. It's wonderful.
Oh, man. I'm going to go a little bit into like the spoiler things about this game already from what I've played. But, for those listening in, you're interested in like Mario like set-piece moments or something like that, you can skip ahead a bit.
Yeah, there are time codes in the description. So.
Yes. So, yeah, it's like, the first level of Super Mario Wonder, dude, it is a perfect representation of like how evolved the Mario platformers have gotten, like the 2D Mario platformers. Because it's so awesome when you just start off the level and stuff, and you see this beautiful landscape in the back and stuff, and then all of a sudden, it's really reminiscent like to World 1-1 of Super Mario Brothers and stuff, and then all of a sudden, you encounter the freaking like elephant power-up, and it's just so funny how a lot of the levels that implement that elephant mechanic and stuff so far, it's fairly straightforward, you know? It's like, you have the little thing where you're gathering the water, then you just water the plants, and, like, the plants, like, throw out coins, or they throw out little hints and stuff of where you either need to go or leading to some other type of secret. I'm loving the whole aspects of the foreground and the background switching up. Because that's radically different than opposed to like some other Mario games have touched upon. I mean, yeah, certain 2D Mario games have touched upon certain foreground, background stuff. Not a lot. But this has a lot of gimmicks in terms of using that type of stuff. Especially when you want to do like the hidden secrets and stuff. But I'm really liking the little Wonder Seed levels. Like, you have to find them inside of each stage if you want to collect everything and stuff. I think it was really hilarious, like, the first aspect when you get to, like, the second stage and stuff.
Yeah,
and
all of a sudden piranhas.
You come across the freaking piranhas.
They
start dancing and singing and stuff. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. I was not anticipating that.
No, that was a big surprise. And I'll tell you what was also a big surprise is, like, there's this one level and stuff to where it's, like, you have a lot of these guys that throw the spikes and stuff like that. The green guys that throw the spikes. You find the Wonder Seed level and that and stuff, and you see them singing in the background and stuff.
It's fucking wild. You're
like going... Fun fact, I didn't find that initial Wonder Seed the first time through. I actually had to like just check around the stage. Okay, what am I missing? And all of a sudden you have the flower on the little platform and stuff that's saying like, oh no, we're gonna fall. And like, it's like, you're too heavy or blah, blah, blah. And I go all the way down, finally, and that's where you get transferred to that freaking little stage and stuff to where the Wonder Seed is kept at.
Yeah.
But every level that I've played so far has been unique. There hasn't really been anything too samey or too generic or too boring. The Wonder Seed stuff adding in has given a lot of unpredictability in terms of what's going to happen next. And quite honestly, to be blunt, it's almost like a case of wonder in terms of like when you're going through each stage. Because you're expecting like a traditional Mario level. You collect the coins, you collect the type of things you're supposed to collect in each level. You go to the end stage. There may be some secrets here and there and stuff. But for this one, it does it intelligently. It does it intelligently because it makes you want to replay specific levels because of that little inklings of what you may have missed the first time. Like subtleties. Like there's like one flower or something that you forgot to touch or something like that that has a coin that you forgot to collect. Or you go onto a stage, you go and collect this wonder seed, right? And you have a whole bunch of these like a freaking buffalo or something like that that's running across the stage and you're trying to ride on top of them and stuff. And they knock out the goalposts and stuff for the one exit and stuff and transfers you to somewhere different. Like it's another like exit point and you complete that and it's like holy crap, it's like it's doing stuff so radically different than what we're so used to. It feels fresh. It's familiar. It's fresh. There's a lot of fun aspects to what I've played so far. I do like that they're actually putting little level difficulties in terms of the stars. Like, okay, this is like a 1-star level. It's like, okay, this is a 4-star level.
Yeah, couldn't beat that one. I gave up. After about a dozen lives, I gave up on that 4-star level.
Oh, yeah, I managed to go through and finish that finally. I got all the little power-ups and everything else. It's the one, the 4-star one I can think of is the one with like the buffalo and stuff, and you have to go.
Yeah, we had to ride them. Yeah,
we had to ride them and stuff, and you had to touch the P switches and stuff, and like in order to get through certain aspects of it. But yeah, you have to time it just right so you collect all those coins and like one initial ride and stuff without losing any life or like exiting off from like the buffalo chain. And like falling into a pit and stuff. I died a fair number of times in there. So there are aspects of this game that can be fairly challenging. But it does a great job of telling the player, hey, this is a 4-star level. This is a 3-star level. This is going to be an easier level. If you want to go through and do this, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, and you know what the beat up, like, because like you can just, it's not 1-1, 1-2, 1-3. It's like,
no.
You can just jump and do any level you want. And all you got to do, you can just play enough to unlock. You have to have a certain amount of the seeds to, like, get to the final boss. So you can just, you don't have to play. You only have to beat all the levels. These are all, like, so if there's a level that's way too hard for you or you're struggling on, you don't have to beat it. You can just move on to something else, which is awesome, too.
Well, yeah, you could do that. You could switch up to a different character that's not going to die or something like that, like Yoshi's or the Nabbit or something like that.
Yeah, if you're a bitch, you can do that.
But for me, I've just been playing traditionally as Mario because that's what I'm used to. And I'll say this about Mario. It's like I'm getting used to the new person's voice. Yeah, so it's like Charles Martinet was a voice of Mario for so many years and stuff like that. And like it just fits. You know, it's kind of weird at first because you're hearing like a youthful sort of like higher tone of like Mario's voice. But it actually matches everything about it. Just matches this game perfectly in terms of the tone, in terms of this and stuff, and also the flowers and stuff. I thought I would get kind of annoyed by the flowers after a while, but
they're awesome.
They've been some of the best parts of this.
They've popped me multiple times. There was like the one where you like walk by and one of the flowers goes ew, and he turns his head around. I was like, I don't even know what I'm looking at. I just fucking lost it. I died. Like whoever the voice actor is for this, like 10 out of 10, give that man a raise. He's
my God.
Hilarious. Like there's has it.
I can think of like an instance too. It's like there's these three flowers and they say two words at a time. It's like we are floating here forever.
Or there's one where like the piranhas are like after they start dancing, you get to that section. One of the flowers is like, well, you don't see that every day. I was like, all right, this is great. Like they
the
got
self-awareness, the self-awareness of like that, just like the kind of like identifies with the player playing. And it's like, I don't see that.
Yeah,
like just have little quick jabs and one-liners and stuff. Oh my God! And then like the one sea level that I've went through so far, that you had these like these particular monsters and stuff like that. They grow gigantic through a wonder seed, and then they're like just digging through the sand and stuff like that. And one of the flowers gets caught up inside there. He's like, he starts screaming and stuff like that. Until finally, you get right to the down portion. He's like, "I'm alive! I'm alive!"
Yeah, it's been really great so far. Like, I'm blown away. Like, you could definitely, you could see like where some of the Mario Maker elements like came up. Like, there's a lot of things where like probably wouldn't have happened if Mario Maker wasn't a thing. Like, the bull riding levels. Like, that's something that feels like straight out of like a Mario Maker type of thing. You know, where like you saw those auto levels. Obviously, it's a different twist to that, but. You can feel some of that, like there's totally things that they never really thought of probably before that like people did, and it's like, oh wow, it's probably taught them some things. Just you hear the stories about how like this team didn't really have a timeline. Like, they said that basically they had as long as they want to work on the game, but once it went in full development, they had 18 months. So like, but they were able to just like figure out what they want to do. They said they had like 2,000 ideas. I don't know how many made it in, but I hope if they're not, hopefully this gets like a sequel with the rest of those ideas. God. And I'm only one world in, and apparently there's 6 worlds, but I'm having a blast. It's like, I've talked about, like, I'm not a huge 2D Mario game, and I'm just playing a 2D Mario guy. I'm having a blast so far. It's so different. Like, I've talked about, like, you know, just like a lot of people, like the new Super Mario Brothers games, I thought were kind of bland and like uninspiring. And this one is just the total opposite of all that. Just every level, like you said, is completely different. It's not just like, you know, usually you go in, like every world has its own setting, and the levels are, they're a little bit of a twist on the same type of level, and they, you know, it's just like the same, you know, they're throwing some different elements in here and there, but like every level is completely different. Like, there's nothing about this that's like, oh, here's the ice level, and here's eight levels based off the ice.
Oh, no.
Like, none of that's the thing. There's a swamp level. There's an a cave level. Here's a level on the ground. Here's a level where you got, like, we got to ride a bunch of bulls or dodge bulls. But you got some of these levels, you have to, like, use the bulls to, like, solve puzzles to, like, get them so you can get the coins. I'm completely blown away by this game. It is awesome.
I'll tell you what, man. Like, the game can be weird at times and stuff, because when the wonder seeds and stuff, you collect them or just complete the tasks for them. God, there's some like crazy stuff that goes on, from like pipes and stuff like that, like just moving around like snails and stuff like that, to like the buffalo that's like riding up in the air and all this other stuff. But it's felt fresh. I mean, from like previous Mario Brothers games and stuff, I mean, you're more expecting like kind of the typical, like, okay, you have these specific types of tropes for worlds and stuff, the set amount of levels, like this is how you can complete them inside of what order and stuff, to where, like you've touched upon before, you get to choose when you're in a world or something, you get to choose which levels or which things you want to tackle first, and then if you want to go on and do like more of them, you can, or if you want to go on to the next world and stuff, you can do that too. I like that choice. When it came to the thing of the badges, in my honest opinion and stuff, they're okay.
Yeah,
I think they're okay. It's more or less a feature to where you could swap things in and out. It just kind of felt like to me that they wanted to swap out different types of features to try to make the player experiment in each level to try to see if they could find any type of secrets by using the different badges. Like, for example, when you have the wall kick stuff, to where when you kick up a wall and stuff, you can jump one more time or something. I've actually done that in, like, one level. I end up getting to an entirely different area or a different type of, like, hidden space to where I can collect a couple of coins up top. Or with the dolphin kick, there were some levels and stuff that, some undersea levels that make it entirely easier to try to navigate throughout the levels and break through like mounds of blocks or something, or you'll recognize, oh, I need this badge if I want to break through these specific areas right here. There's probably a secret over there. You know, it's a lot of visual cues, a lot of visual like patterns, recognitions, but, oh my gosh, music's been fun.
Music's fantastic.
I mean, yeah, the music, I love the music. I love a lot of the visual art style stuff. I love the personality of this game. I mean, everything melds in relatively nicely. If, in my honest opinion, by playing to this first world, it definitely feels more inspired than, say, what I've played, say, from the new Super Mario Brothers series. I mean, most definitely. I mean, I've played those games. I have played through all those different games and stuff, from like New Super Mario Bros. On DS all the way up to New Super Mario Bros. U and stuff for like the Wii U and parts of the Switch. And quite honestly, when I play Super Mario Wonder, the creativity and the overall like fun in terms of experimenting and when I do things, like, it feels better than those titles. It feels better than those previous titles. It feels on par with a Super Mario Brothers or Super Mario World or Super Mario Brothers 3, you know, it's in that category, but I'm not sure in terms if it's going to sustain itself throughout the entirety of the game, which I'm pretty much thinking that it will, considering it's building itself up like one moment at a time and stuff, and it feels like there are more definitely like hidden secrets that need to be uncovered and stuff, but I'm having a really fun time playing this game, and I'm also having like very high regards of this is definitely one of the best Switch games to come out this year.
Yeah, easily at worst number two.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, anything else you can play, Gables?
Oh yeah, yes. During the mail today, I did get not one but both of the Marvel vs. Capcom games for the Dreamcast. I won an eBay auction a couple weeks ago to where I managed to get both Marvel vs. Capcom and Marvel vs. Capcom 2 from the same seller. I won both of his auctions, and I only had to spend a little bit over $120 just to get them, like, together. So that definitely was a big win for me, because MVC2 for Dreamcast is costing anywhere between $150 to, like, $170-something complete in its jewel case and stuff itself. So, they were disc-only, but they were inside of, like, CD cases and stuff when they were delivered, and the wrapping was absolutely fantastic. The bubble wrap, this and that. I mean, I'd expect the packaging to be fantastic if I'm spending that type of money for these games. But I had a chance, before we started talking on Skype and stuff, to play through the entirety of the arcade mode for both Marvel's Capcom and Marvel's Capcom 2. No issues whatsoever. There's no cuts. There's no, like, skipping of discs. Everything played smooth. The Dreamcast itself has been running like a champ. Like, the games themselves, I've played the games off and on for years. I've played through MVC1 on the PlayStation, MVC2 on the PS2, the friggin' 360, the PS3, and, like, now playing through, like, the arcade perfect, like, near arcade perfect Dreamcast version and stuff of this, using the same team that I did play it through with all those years ago, with Cable, with Venom, with Incredible Hulk and stuff. I love those three characters in specifics, because Cable's more like a projectile sort of thing I use them for. All I do is just spam, like, a certain attack with Venom and stuff like that, and then the Incredible Hulk, it's like a cleanup to where he'll do his little meteor smash or something, or, like, just, like, do his big old, like, earthquake sort of special or something, where he just literally lifts a whole bunch of, like, boulders, some grounds of the earth, and just sends enemies go flying towards, like, the end of the stage and stuff. Love MVC2. Very chaotic game. It's definitely better in terms of gameplay than the first one. But I like the first one as well. A lot of good 2v2 sort of gameplay and stuff. It's a different feel. It's a different type of, it's a different type of fighting game, in terms of mechanics and also in terms of, like, what you can do in that game compared to MVC2. That's more 3-on-3. It's more methodical. It's a lot faster, and you can combo and get high-end combos like crazy if you know exactly what you're doing. I mean, heck, if you're a veteran of playing games like Marvel's Capcom 2, you already know, like, a lot of the different infinites you can do for, like, all these different characters, like Magneto and, like, for Iron Man and, like, Doctor Doom and all that stuff. But, yeah, man, it's just one of those going down memory lane type of moments, and it's also a bit bittersweet, because it's, like, it's also a nostalgic moment to where I heard one of my friends from back in the day, he loved playing both of those games, like on the Dreamcast when he had that. And this is like around 99 or 2000 or something like that. So it's like right in that tail end of the 90s and early 2000s. And now finally I had a chance to play through those same type of ports. So yeah, so far it's like my Dreamcast collection is growing exponentially. I now have 3 games. I've beaten Crazy Taxi. I have gone through the arcade modes of both MVC1 and MVC2. I will tinker around with those 2 games as well, because why not? I mean, I have them. I can experiment with each characters and unlock things accordingly. But other than that, though, in other gaming news, I've been playing little bits of Vampire Survivors. Nothing too much more further than that. Just playing through a couple matches here and there while I'm in my bed, and like playing like a couple pickup games of Tecmo Bowl on the NES Switch online and stuff. It's a classic. I absolutely love just playing just a pickup game of that because it's so straightforward and stuff. Plus, you could cheese the CPU to where you can just cover certain receivers, like with middle linebackers and all those other things in man-to-man coverage and stuff, and do like interceptions and stuff, or like just trick their enemy quarterback into try to tossing it into tight coverage and stuff, and all of a sudden you just try to go in and stuff, just absolutely just sack the shit out of them. But yeah, man, that's pretty much it for what I have been playing for this week. But man, I am getting so excited for Extra Life. I literally am trying to make up like a list of like games I want to try to at least touch upon. So yeah, that's going to be the better part of this coming week, is prepping the list.
All right, very nice, very cool, man. Yeah, can't wait. Yeah, 2 more weeks, so it's gonna be a good time. Gables, let's get into the topics this week. Not a lot of news this week. Not gonna lie to you guys, not a lot going on. It's been maybe one of the slowest news weeks we've had in quite a while, probably all year at least. But we are getting close, Gables. We are about 6 weeks or so, give or take, out from Game Awards.
Yes.
I think it's December 6th or 7th, something like that. So I thought it'd be fun, Gables, to try to predict what the nominees for Game of the Year would be for Game Awards. So for them, okay, for the Game of the Year, they always do 6.
Yes.
And some years it's like, oh, it's easy. You come like, oh, okay, it's pretty easy. It's these ones. Some years it's like, oh, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck are we going to put in some of these? And this year, Gables, I don't know how the fuck we're going to, how it's going to get narrowed down. Obviously, like, they have a list of, like, I think, like, over 100 different sites they use that vote on nominees, who they'd vote for. And then they announce who the nominees are, and then they go from there. And then we have voting from there. So, Gables, I think it'd be fun here to try to predict what we think,
okay,
the nominees would be. What do we think the for sures are?
The for sures, obviously, it's going to be Baldur's Gate 3. That's going to be one of the locks for Game of the Year. That game's been heavily talked about. It's has one of the highest ratings of the year on Open Critic. It's tied with Tears of the Kingdom in terms of the overall like review scores and aggregates and stuff. I've heard nothing but great things about Baldur's Gate 3. I've actually heard people talk about that game in the wild in terms of like around my area where I live and stuff. So it's like I have this one guy that I talk to at like at the bank that I go through whenever I'm doing deposits or when I'm doing like any type of like change stuff for my workplace, and he's talking about how good Baldur's Gate 3 is and like how you should try to play this and this and that. But yeah, I think that's one for sure. I think that another possible game that is for sure, it's going to be Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, those are slam dunks for sure.
Definitely slam dunks. I mean, for Zelda, obviously, of how big of a launch that game was, and also in terms of all the creativity and all the craziness that came from the whole Ultra Hand stuff. Oh my gosh, like literally people try to find out ways just to go and try to bypass all this shit and like creating all sorts of different monstrosities. That was a laugh to check that stuff out. Oh boy. Other than that, though, I think those two are the sure things.
Yeah. I'm thinking Spider-Man 2 and Mario Wonder would be on that list as well.
You would think, right?
Yeah, just based off of how, like, I was pretty confident Spider-Man 2 would be a nominee before the reviews came out. And then obviously post-reviews and just everybody, like, the way everybody's talked about it, I think it's for sure a thing, obviously, how well it reviewed. It's one of the, you know, it's like, I think like a 92 on Open Critic, and Mario Wonder, I thought it was a pretty good chance, but man, like, based off of just what everybody saying about it, how it's so much better than I think anybody thought it would actually be. I think those are like the next two.
I'll tell you what, though, I think that for their Game of the Year stuff, I think they're gonna go with just one Switch game, personally.
I mean, we saw Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild make it.
That's fairly true too. That is fairly true too, and I feel like the reason why I have said that before is because of how tight the whole aspect of the Game of the Year stuff is for this year. There's so many different games this year that have gotten at least late 80s, early 90s and stuff. I mean, you can make a case for like about six other different games too that could potentially be sort of the Game of the Year
More
stuff.
Than six. But I mean, 2017 was like previously like the greatest year of all time, and we had two Switch games make it. So, and this
That's
is
true.
I mean, this is probably better than that year. So I don't know. I think both should be on the list. At the very least, Spider-Man 2. But I think those two will make it.
Okay, so you think that those two will make it? I know for sure that I feel like Spider-Man 2 is going to be making it on that Game of the Year, that list, in terms of like Game Awards and stuff, because of how, not just how heavy the thing has been advertised and stuff like that, but a lot of great word of mouth stuff, a lot of fantastic things surrounding that. Plus, if you're going to be releasing one of the biggest game products or something like that for the rest of the year and stuff like that, of course you're going to get a lot of like, you're going to get like a lot of publicity, a lot of like talks and rumblings and stuff. But yet Insomniac, they hit the nail right on the head in terms of this game release. Everything else doesn't, it seems like it's only illuminating to how fantastic this game is. Plus, it's one of those moments where people are taking a lot of their time and stuff just to stop everything so they can play through Spider-Man 2. It's like a big event.
And I think it does, it is beneficial to the fact that it's coming out later.
Yes.
So, you know, we're like, definitely like, when you do Game of the Year, like when we do Game of the Year sometimes, it's hard to like, you know, like compare a game you like, if that was awesome, you played in January or February, mm-hmm. to a game you played in like November. So it's
right.
like, it's kind of hard to sometimes separate that. So I think that's why I think those two games, like, I think they deserve to be on the list regardless, but I think those two games were like, the fact they're coming out, I think I think the nominees got to be like put in, and like, I think there were like 3 weeks or so, give or take. Right. So like, these are going to be fresh on those guys' mind when they're, putting this together. So all right, let's go ahead.
One last thing I'll say, I think that a game that will not make this type of list or something for that, the six finals and stuff, I don't think Diablo 4 makes the cut.
So yeah, I'm the same with you. I think at launch it could have been,
yes,
but I think the sentiment since then has been pretty upsetting. I did hear though that the new season has fixed pretty much for the most part, a lot of the issues. Like, they've really sped up the progression.
Right.
They fixed a lot of online issues, technical issues. So I've heard the new season is much better. It's not perfect, but it's back on track. But yeah, I agree with you that like, yeah, that was one of the games I wrote down like kind of a short list here of potential like games that could be a nominee. And that was one of the ones that I was just like, it could be if that game was as good as it was, people were as hyped for that game as they were, was it June 6th or whatever, as they are now, it would be a shoo-in, but I don't think it will be either.
I think that Street Fighter 6 is definitely going to be a contender for Game of the Year this year.
I don't... Should it be? Yes. The problem, though, is I have Mortal Kombat 1 and Street Fighter 6 on the shortlist here.
Right.
The problem is, though, is fighting games are a more of a niche audience. And
right.
I don't think it's one of those cases where when you have hundreds of different people voting on these things, that unfortunately, though, like, you're in the room with 15 other people, maybe only a few of those people play these games. And then
right.
also you're going to have the issue where Mortal Kombat 1 and Street Fighter 6 are going to split the votes as well. So
Yeah, I understand that.
It's kind of like Forza Horizon 6 was, or Forza Horizon 5 rather, was the highest rated game of the year in 2021, and it wasn't a Game of the Year nominee because it's a racing game. You know, it's no disrespect to that game, but it's, you know, racing games, and you know, they have a more of a small audience, so it's harder to kind of penetrate that wall. There's, you know, you can be great, and you can have that, but it's like, I don't think those type of games are going to be able to break through that wall just yet.
Right, I understand where you're coming from for that. The reason why I thought that Street Fighter VI would be inside of like the contender of like a Game of the Year sort of list is because this is one of the biggest openings ever for like a Street Fighter game in the history of its franchise. On top of that, you have the whole thing with Capcom, with their Capcom Cup, that they've got a whole bunch of people competing for like the biggest prize pool inside of esports history, with like a whole, the over like $1 million sort of like giveaway and all this other stuff from like just competing at a high level with this stuff. Also, going on top of that, you have a lot of fresh elements that are introduced with this side of this game that's enticed a lot of not just established like people that have been inside the fighting game scene for a long time, but a lot of new players that are wanting to get into this game because of the modernized control style, to try to delve and try to get into like the whole aspects of playing their first fighting game for the first time. So there is plenty of casual appeal for that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this game's going to win Game of the Year. I mean, no, I don't think so. I think in the terms of like a Game of the Year thing, it's probably going to be like on people's maybe 6th or 7th best game of the year, but I feel like that Street Fighter 6, more so than say like a Mortal Kombat 1, does deserve like a chance to be like on that sort of Game of the Year list, and I think it has a lot to do with the mass appeal and also how it's presented itself, not just at launch, because the launch thing for Street Fighter 6 was actually relatively good in the grand scheme of things, but in comparison to Street Fighter 5, with that was a disastrous launch, and it was a lot of like people's disappointment in terms of that, where that game, you could argue, never really fully recovered until like close to the end of that game's life. But that's part of like what I kind of feel about it, not just because I've played it for a long duration of time, but it's just a lot of that game did a lot better in terms of building up itself to be like a different fighting game than previous iterations before. But
yeah, I don't think it's gonna make it, just because I mean, you can make the same argument about like, you're talking about the big changes they made to Street Fighter 6. Mortal Kombat 1 totally rebooted itself, and
right,
you know, and totally changed up how it's doing things, and Mortal Kombat is the biggest fighting game franchise out there. Mortal Kombat 11 was the greatest selling game fighting game of all time, not named Smash Brothers. And
right,
Mortal Kombat 1 had a better launch than that one did. So only telling that it's probably going to be in just as, if not more, sell out more than Mortal Kombat 11 Mortal Kombat 11 did. I think it's just the problem is it's a harder audience. I shouldn't say hard. I don't know how I want to say this, but it just doesn't have the mass appeal that like a lot of these other games are, like to like a Mario Wonder or Spider Man or Tears of Kingdom,
right,
or
right,
Baldur's Gate, or even like one thing I think is a shoo-in, Armored Core 6. Maybe not a shoo-in, but I feel pretty confident. Like you got to look at like, this is, I mean, FromSoft is one of the most beloved studios out there.
Yeah,
and those games score super well every single time.
Yeah,
this is one of the highest reviewed games of the year as well,
and arguably probably the best game in the franchise in this regard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd say at this point it probably is. I mean, it's obviously the biggest for them. So people just love FromSoft, man. I really think it. Like, FromSoft has not put a game out in the game award era that didn't end up being on the list.
I could see your reasoning from that,
and they've won two.
It's plenty of sense for Armored Core 6 to be even like in the talks of like Game of the Year stuff, and that being on the Game of the Year list. Yeah, I could see that potentially happening. But the next question goes in line to another game, though. Would this make the Game of the Year list? And that's Starfield.
I think a lot about this one, man, because I have this on my short list as well. This, like, if you were going to ask me what my six were, I'd probably put Armored Core 6 on there, so I'd have five. And to me, this would be one of like, all right, let me just say what I have for the rest of the list here. I have Dead Space Remake, right. Resident Evil 4, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Why are you laughing at Resident Evil 4?
Oh, man, I'm not just laughing at Resident Evil 4, dude. I'm just laughing because of the absurdity that these games could have also been on that Game of the Year list, and I just now I'm remembering it.
Yeah. Oh, because they came out this year?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's wild, right? Yeah, like that was like January when Dead Space came out. Yeah, so we have Dead Space Remake, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Street Fighter 6, Final Fantasy 6, Armored Core 6, Starfield. I put Lies of P in there as like an honorable mention, but it's not going to make it, even though it probably should. I'm just going to delete that. Mortal Kombat 1. And then obviously the wild card here, we don't know, Alan Wake 2, which I'm just going to delete just because we don't know. But I think that has a chance because that's like the last big game's going to come out before the nominees come out. So or yep. For the nominees have to be decided because Mario RPG will be past the deadline. Yes. To me, Armored Core 6 would be one of the ones that make that list, would be the fifth one. And I really look at, like, I'd say Starfield, Star Wars, and Resident Evil 4 would be, like, the three battling for that sixth spot. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Starfield, Final Fantasy 6, Star Wars, and Resident Evil 4 would be... So we have four... pretty massive games to me that I feel are battling for one spot. And this is where I mean, you look at that list and like, to me, there's no way Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter make that list.
Right. I see what you mean. So, I do see what you mean by that.
And it's like I put Dead Space in there. I think almost as like as an honorable mention as well. So I'm just gonna go ahead and delete that off the list here. So
yeah, I don't see Dead Space Remastered being on that Game of the Year list. I could see a case for Resident Evil 4 Remastered being on that list.
Resident Evil 2 made it the year it came out.
That's true. I definitely could see Final Fantasy 16 wanting to try to go.
Yeah, I said Final Fantasy 6. I don't know why I said that.
Yes, you did. And yeah, but Final Fantasy 16, I definitely feel like does have a chance to be on that Game of the Year list. But... I think it's more like the battle of like three and stuff. You have RE4 Remake, you got freaking Final Fantasy 16, and then like you
Star
have
Wars.
Like, yeah. Starfield. So,
Starfield, yeah. So the way I love Starfield. I put 55-ish hours in that game. I had a lot of fun with that game. I had a lot of problems with that game. There's a lot of pacing issues with that game. A lot of things that like could have been a lot better, and I've talked about that quite a bit. And the girlfriend reviews did a really great YouTube video. Like girlfriend, if you don't watch girlfriend reviews, on YouTube, what the fuck are you doing with your life? But they made a Starfield one that I highly recommend everybody watch. Where like it's the complaints I've been talking about on this podcast, and then just in general people for a while now, and they just like show it. They just lay it all out of all my issues, and it's like I talked to so many people though about it's like Starfield is. Is really split the audience in a way I did not see coming. Where it's like, I never really like got into like I've talked about like I was never big into Bethesda games. Like I I've talked about over and over again. I love I really liked Fallout 3 back in the day, but like New Vegas fell off of Skyrim, fell off of Oblivion, barely played it. And you know, it's like I don't really care for their games. And it's like Starfield sucked me in. And I liked a lot. I love that game, but man, there's so many that. Parts of that game where it's like I was frustrated. It's like probably could have like chipped away 7-8 hours of playtime if they just had better pacing and just like so much time not actually doing anything. If people learned like if Zoom, the Skype calls were a thing 300 years in the future and I had to go talk to everybody face to face. I think it's so split. That I don't think Starfield's going to make it. And same with Final Fantasy 16. I love Final Fantasy 16. It's on my short list of game of the year. Like, to me, like, obviously I'm not including Spider-Man or Mario Wonder in there, but it's probably in my top four right now of like game of the year. And like, You ask me tomorrow, it could be number one. You ask me next day, it could be number three. Whatever, two, it jumps right. It's like right now it's in my top four. And I love that game. I have some issues with that game. It's not 10 out of 10 by any stretch of imagination. But I talked to a lot of people that a lot of people that are huge Final Fantasy fans didn't like it because it's not Final Fantasy enough. And part of the things I loved about that game was the fact it wasn't Final Fantasy that much. So I could definitely see the issues with that game.
I definitely think that Resident Evil 4 Remake will make it on the Game of the Year list.
All right, cool. So we're going
to... I absolutely feel that way because of not just how much positive word of mouth has came from that game since its release, but Capcom did a fantastic job remaking a masterpiece of a game into something even better.
Yeah.
In a lot of the aspects.
Okay. So we're cool with eliminating Starfield then?
Yep.
All right. We're cool with eliminating Final Fantasy 16?
Yep.
All right. So I think we've got our six here. Star Wars Jedi Survivor, not one of the games that's in my short list. It's in my top four as well as of right now. Ask me tomorrow. It could be in my game of the year. Ask me a week from now. It's four. I think it's the same thing. It launched, and I talked about it. I had very few issues with that game at launch. And the only issues I had was a couple of technical bugs were some clipping issues, or I got stuck on something. But I know other people that just had a hell of a time trying to play that game at launch. And on PC, it was a disaster. I played on PS5, so I don't know how, but I know people had tons of issues, so I can see that kind of solely a lot of people's opinions on it. I agree. We can delete that. So what we have here then, Gables.
Yeah.
If we did this right. Baldur's Gate 3.
Yep.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Yep.
Super Mario Wonder.
Yep.
Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
Resident Evil 4.
Yep.
Armored Core 6.
I think this is going to be probably the closest we've gotten for game finalists and stuff with this. Because I feel that's pretty much the strongest of the group that we got going for this year.
Yeah. It's I think these are the ones that the most universally loved as well so far. There hasn't been any real true backlash. I've seen people bitching about Spider-Man 2 because you can platinum the game in 30 hours. And it's people are $70 for
a thing.
Dude, people were it's the internet, it's Twitter, you gotta take it for what it is, but people were complaining that it became such a thing that the director of the game had to address the fact that people were mad that a $70 game costs $30 $70 for a game you can 100% in 30 hours. This is kidding me? This is the greatest thing I've ever heard. This sounds fantastic.
It sounds obtainable.
Yes. Instead of I saw someone post a comment about that. They weren't complaining, but posted someone commented on their video. And it was six or seven people complaining about it. And it was a screenshot and they posted it. And I commented do you want a Ubisoft Spider-Man game? Cause this is how we get a Ubisoft Spider-Man game right here. It's nobody wants that. I don't want that. Nobody. No,
exactly.
You're not.
No one wants a Ubisoft style of Spider-Man game. I mean, for God's sakes.
I do not want an 80-hour campaign. That should have been 15. I don't know. Fucking people are weird. I don't know, man. Yeah, I agree. These are the ones where there's the least amount of issues, and it's seems so far everybody. You're always gonna have the people don't like the things, but Armored Core 6. Even though it's weird, Armored Core 6 kind of just came out and didn't really I think the problem was it came out Baldur's Gate 3 hype was still really high.
Yep.
And then it was the week before Starfield came out and the reviews dropped right when Armored Core 6 was coming out. So it kind of got overshadowed, but I still keep hearing people bringing it up. So I think that's part of that probably helps it out. So
exactly. It was in dangerous risk of being ignored for the large part because it was stuck in between two big game releases. But at the same time, it's kept in the realm of relevancy in terms of its launch back around, what was it, August and stuff?
Yeah, August.
Late August, all the way up until now. I mean, that's a testament of how good that game is.
Yeah, 2023, that's pretty big. So, all right. Well, all right, cool. Well, okay. Well, actually, before we move on, Gables, If you had to pick a Game of the Year winner out of this, who are you going with?
Oh, shit. Oh, my gosh.
To me, it's between two.
It really is between two.
It's Baldur's Gate 3 and Zelda. Like, I thought this year it was going to be pretty boring going into this the year because Game Awards, like, for at least Game of the Year nominees, it's like, Zelda's going to win. We already know it. But it's like, it's kind of fun now. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Baldur's Gate 3 kind of came up. And that thing was like just like Zelda. Like, I talk about, like, a lot of these games kind of came out on top of each other. Baldur's Gate 3 and Zelda came out in, like, a period where there was just nothing for a while. So not only are these games fantastic and all-time great games, but they came out in, like, a time where, like, they were actually at a time to breathe. And, like, they got bigger and bigger and gained more steam because of that, and more awareness and more talking about the game than any other games these year.
Because they had the room to go and grow, not having the added detriment of there being so many other big game releases releasing so close to them, it allowed them to breathe, and now there's more prestige to each of them because it emphasizes a lot of their strengths in terms of that time period. So people had a lot more time to spend, like with Baldur's Gate 3 or with Zelda Tears of the Kingdom and stuff. But in terms of what I think is going to be called for Game of the Year for the Game Awards, you know, I'm just going to go with my gut feeling and say that they're going to go with Baldur's Gate 3.
I'm going Zelda.
I want it to be Zelda. Quite honestly, yeah. That's how I feel that it should go for Legend of Zelda, but I feel like that they're going to throw a curveball and have Baldur's Gate 3 because of a lot of intricacies and also a lot of crap.
I think that game is very deserving if it wins it.
Like, yes,
I
don't think, yes.
Yeah, like, I've never played the game. It's not my type of game, but everything, I really badly want to play that game, but it's like, I know a game, it's a game is fucking huge, and I just never gonna have time to beat it, but also it's not a game for me. But yeah, if any of these six win it, even if, like, some of the games that we knocked off the list win it, it's like, they deserve it. It's a great year.
Yeah,
but yeah, like, obviously, like, I think Zelda probably should win it over all of these, but I haven't played Baldur's Gate 3, so that's not fair for me to say, I guess. But I'm going to say Zelda, but because I think it is a game that's more people are probably going to play that are going to be voting on these things, and it's, you know, and it's fucking Zelda. So, yeah. Well, but yeah, we'll wait and see. But Gables, let's move on here to, this will be our last topic of the show here. We have the September Circana, the MPDs. It's the MPDs, people. I'm going to figure out how to say it one of these days. I swear. It comes out usually towards the end of every month, and it is the, sales for the previous month. So this is the top 20 games of September. Gables, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 brand new games make the top 20 list for September. Gables, you want to give me some guesses here? What's on here?
Oh God, for games that are released in September that are on this list.
We just talked about two of them in the last part.
Oh yeah, we did talk about two of them.
What came out September, Gables? It was 6 weeks ago.
I know, Tyler. I know.
All right. Man. Well, we're gonna get into it then. All right. So
get into it.
All right. So number 20 here. Big drop. Diablo 4. It was number 7. So it went dropped down to number 20 here. Number 19 coming back in from 34. Sea of Thieves. I was like, why the fuck is that there? And I found out that the Secret of Monkey Island expansion came out.
That's right.
Yeah. So Elden Ring here at number 18. Okay. Number 17, Gran Turismo 7. It's got that boost because of the movie. So
that's right.
This one doesn't make sense to me. 2 months in a row here. Rainbow Six Siege in the top 20. Second month in a row after not being in it for a long time. I don't know what the fuck happened there, but that's still there. Number 15 here, you know, the old faithful, Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Number 14, Minecraft. Number 13, starting to see some big drops here. This was number 6 the previous month. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, so drop 7 spots. Resident Evil 4 jumped into the 12th spot. It was 27th the previous month, but it did have the Separate Ways DLC come out. So
That's right. The Separate Ways DLC has been a big positive too, from what I've heard.
Yeah, and it's only like $10. I was pretty surprised by that. So yeah. I need to check that. I need to beat that or play that. Number 11, Star Wars: The Jedi Survivor. Number 10, dropping down from 4 to 10 here, Call of Duty: Modern Warfare 2. No surprise there. Dropping down from 5 to 9, Hogwarts Legacy. Dropping down from number 2 to number 8 this month, Armored Core 6. And then we're going to start into, so seven of the top, or six of the top seven are brand new games, Gables.
Wow.
So number 7 here, The Crew Motorfest.
The Crew Motorfest.
Yeah. Those games actually surprisingly sell super duper well. Like, I heard they're really great games, but like the first two like sold like over 10 million plus each. No idea. So those games have a pretty big audience behind them. And I heard the reviews for this one have been really positive as well. Number 6, NBA 2K24.
Okay.
Number 6, because that came out like right at the end of the month. Otherwise, that would be like number 1 right. Usually. Number 5, Gables. This one stunned me. Payday 3.
Payday 3 is number 5 on the sales charts.
Yeah, yeah.
That game has had a botched launch from the get-go, but yet it still managed to sell quite a bit to get itself in the top 5.
Yeah, I mean, this game is also on Game Pass as well, so I was kind of surprised by that.
Jeez.
Yeah, pretty shocking there. And this is also an Embracer Group people, so I'm sure they're like, this game will sell 300 million copies, and then some will be a disappointment to them. Number 4, sticking on there, it was number 1 previous month, Madden NFL 24.
Okay.
Number 3, EA Sports FC 24.
Okay.
So, big month for them. I think it was one of their biggest launches ever for them as well. Number 2, Gables, number 2 here, Mortal Kombat 1.
Okay, so MK1 managed to go and launch inside of that number 2 spot.
Yep, yep. And then number 1, Starfield.
Yep.
Yep, so Paul Gables couldn't even guess any one of those. Couldn't guess one goddamn one. but kind of impressive here, though, is even after only a month on the charts here, Starfield is already the number 7 best-selling game of the year. And Mortal Kombat 1 is already the 8th best-selling game of the year. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, pretty impressive stuff there. It's always, like I said, this is like a time of year where, like, when we get a lot of new stuff, it's always like, this is the one that's most exciting to me. Is like, it's sometimes, it's the months where there's nothing new. It's like, okay, what's just hanging around? Like, that's kind of fun. But also the months where it's like, you get a bunch of new shit. Like, those are the ones that are like always fun. It's like, all right, what's actually outselling more than the other one? So I'm kind of curious, like, how some of these will stick around here, like, you know, Starfield obviously had the giant launch. They had the people like me, because this is all based off money, not individual sales,
right?
So like they had the $100 version you could buy a Starfield and like on Steam or an Xbox if you want to play it 5 days early, or people like me that had Game Pass and just pay the $30 to upgrade to get it 5 days early, which is something like I did. You know, Mortal Kombat 1 obviously coming out, and I could talk about that was you know, it's on. It had a better launch than Mortal Kombat 11 did, and that's one of the best-selling fighting games ever made. So, on pace to beat that out. Payday 3 being just making the list. I know Payday has a gigantic audience. It's one of those things where it's like, when we hear about those games, how do those games like exist? And it's like you find out now there's actually like a huge audience behind them. And Payday 3 apparently is just one of those games, one of those franchises where it's just like, no, there's just like millions of people out there that play the game and we don't know about it. So anything else stand out to you, Gills?
No, not really. I mean, not too much of a surprise for this month.
A couple other little news this week items we have. P. Hines is retiring from Bethesda. Dropped this. So the reviews of Spider-Man dropped at 7 o'clock Pacific time. P. Hines announced his retirement at 7:01 Pacific time. So obviously a plan of like, you know, just kind of get it buried in the news, which isn't unusual. Usually this happens. Usually it's like, it's really bad news that this happens on, or it's like, you know, they drop it like 5 o'clock on a Friday type of thing. This, I mean, obviously I can see how it's bad for maybe like Bethesda and like Microsoft and like, you know, P. Hines has been there for over 20 years now. Like, but it's just like, this isn't like leaving in scandal thing. This is like, I'm just retiring. So I wouldn't be shocked if like maybe he was planning on leaving anyways. You know, you hear about these, like when like a company gets bought, they ask the people in charge to stick around for a couple of years. So maybe he's like, hey, just get us through Starfield. And it's like, usually when, like, you know, they people want to leave on a high note. And yeah. I don't know how you know, Starfield came out. That's a pretty high note for Bethesda and everybody. So I could see, like, hey, the last thing people remember, you know, I'll be remembered for is being behind the guy that put out Starfield. So, yeah, hey, good for him. Happy for him. So hopefully he's happy, and we'll be shocked if we see him around here again. Analog is making an N64 machine. Yeah. So people don't know, the Analog Pocket, they made like a, it's like a Game Boy that like makes games, they look beautiful on there, like really does a good job of kind of up-resing them a little bit. And, but they're like very expensive. It's like $300, I think it's like $300 for one of those Analog Pockets.
Yeah, there's multiple reasons why they cost that much, is because they have different types of filters, different types of like things, and you can actually use it as like a little music player for like your own music and all this other stuff. It's really intricate, and it's fairly fascinating, especially if you want to go into playing through Game Boy, through like Game Boy Advance stuff. And there's actually little adapters where you can play like Game Gear and like other types of like handheld games on it too, like even the Neo Geo Pocket Color, those type of games.
Yeah.
So it's, so with this news coming out that they're putting out an N64, I kind of think that's kind of exciting, because it's like, this is the first time I can think of to where you have a company that's going out and trying to produce like almost like a clone system of like an N64, only high, only like with specs to where you can have HDMI, you can have like certain aspects of it.
Runs in 4K,
you know, and yeah, like, that's just part of the thing that people are kind of looking for. They're kind of looking for currently ways to play their old console games that they have like on modern sets or on modern televisions without losing too much visual fidelity or any type of like clear cut like image stuff. But we haven't seen anything of the system yet, but yet just the announcement itself has gotten a lot of people online excited. Definitely wishing that if they're doing something like that for 64, then hopefully maybe doing something for like other systems down the road, you know?
Yeah. I think they're mostly going to cover like machines that don't have, they didn't get like, you know, we've seen a ton of like Super Nintendo, NES, you know, machines get made that.
Oh, so absolutely.
Cover. They're probably gonna try to cover like a lot of consoles that don't have stuff like this. So, it's gonna, what sucks is with Analog, those things are going to sell out. They don't make tens of millions of these things, so they're going to sell quickly, and they're going to be very expensive. Not to say that they're not worthy of being expensive, but they are very expensive. So it's like yeah, not something like I'm like, I really wanted that Analog Pocket. Like that thing would like be badass. You could just like go on eBay and get like a $10 cart that has like every fucking Game Boy game ever made on it.
You could, yes.
Yeah, like not that, at that price, I can't. No, I can't do that. So yeah. Pretty cool. I'm excited to see what we like when we finally get to like see some gameplay and all that. Like I'm excited to actually see all that. That'd be pretty cool. Some good news though for Golem Gables.
Yeah.
It has been knocked off. I don't want to say the mountain. What's the opposite of a mountain? Like the
it's been knocked off the shit pile.
Yes. By Skull Island: Rise of Kong. It is now one of the worst reviewed games of 2023. I think it's like a 27 on Metacritic.
Oh, Lord.
That game is something else. It's $50. I couldn't believe it. Like, I remember we watched that trailer a while ago, and we, like, yeah, laughed at it. And then, like, there was a couple clips that came out the day before it launched, and it's like, oh, my God. And then everybody's been streaming it, and it's even bigger and better than we thought it could be. It's,
oh, Lord.
It is.
Yeah.
Man. It honestly looks like I took one of the Mario Wonder Seeds in real life, and I started playing a video game, and it was Skull Island: Rise of Kong.
I know, right? It's like there's a bunch of streamers that have been streaming the game. I've watched certain aspects of the game itself. It generally kind of looked like at some spots that the game designers purposely made it to where you have a lot of these invisible barriers through not having to cut across different levels and stuff to try to get to checkpoints and stuff, or get to like the end of the level like fairly quickly and stuff. But it's a lot of artificial padding from what I've seen, and a lot of like just brain dead. It's like a lot of brain dead AI stuff. It's what you would expect from a terrible video game. Visuals look like crap. Gameplay looks like probably looks and feels like garbage. Level design is laughable at best, but at the same time, it's like there's a lot to be desired and stuff. But at the same time, you know, it just goes to it just comes down to, hey, if you're a big major, like, if you're like a video game publisher or video game, like, developer or something, you put out something like, say, a Golem, or put out a, like, a King Kong game to where it looks like this. I mean, oh.
Yeah. Well, oh, apparently the team only had like 9 months to work on this, and they're a very small team, so it shows. So hopefully, you know, I guess in their case, though, like, if you're going to be bad, at least be this bad. Like, so, like, you know, the game's probably going to sell decently well because of that. So I don't know. Maybe that's the greater of two evils here, is like, you could be just boring or just like nothing, and then no one cares. So you're almost better off, instead of just being like a 7 out of 10 mid game, you're better off just being a 2 out of 10 and like, and just be blatantly terrible. So I don't know. But last up here, PS5 Slim apparently has come out November 10th. So they announced it last week, but they never put out a date for it. But that apparently is the looks like the case. And apparently there might be a Spider-Man one bundle that comes out on the 8th. So if you want to get the game, you want to get it a couple days earlier, but you have to buy Spider-Man with it, there is that option as well. So yeah, but I think that is all we have for this week, guys. If you like all this, please like, follow, subscribe. Check us out wherever podcasts are on. We're on every app: Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, everything. There's links down in the description down below to everything that we're on. Please go there, check us out. 5-star reviews, comments, subscribes, follows, whatever you can do to help us out. Really would appreciate it. I was host, I was Tyler.
I've been Colonel Gable. So until next time, everyone, play some fun games, play some Spider-Man 2, play some Super Mario Wonder, play whatever you feel like you want to play at the moment. But most importantly, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds podcast.
Hey, Gables.
Yeah.
Too sweet?
Too sweet, man.
Bye, guys.
See ya.